Hey, this is Sunday morning, 11:08:20, and we're continuing the study on learning to flow in the supernatural. The title of this is Manna. Manna. We are continuing on our trek out of Egypt, just like the children of Israel. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's the process. And we're coming out. Well, I'll read that just to, for the record. By the way, manna means, what is it? That's the literal interpretation of what manna is. What is it? Because the Israelites looked at it, what is it? And that's the way people look at the things of God. What is it? I thought that's fitting. Like, what is it? You know, they don't recognize God's way. What is it? They're so used to doing it their own way. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we concluded over the few weeks that we've done this that people want to flow in the Holy Spirit, but to me, the way you flow in the Spirit is to get in God's will. When you get in God's will, you're going to be walking in line with what he has for you to do. And so you'll be flowing in the Spirit. Okay. This is the process, not by self-will, but by Father's will. We get free and come completely out of the system. We must trust his plan for us. Now we're going to go over and read Galatians. We've been looking at Galatians the last 2 weeks because it talks about the walk of the flesh and the walk of the Spirit. Now even if you're in God's will, God still has to continue the renewing of the mind process. And that's where we find ourselves. Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit," now if you're in God's will, you're being led by the Spirit, right? "You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I told you also, told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Again, even in this is not by willpower. This is going to be by Holy Ghost power. Like I said before, when we yield to the Spirit, I believe we'll let go of flesh. The more we yield to the Spirit and walk in line with the Spirit, the less walking in the flesh there'll be and the less the devil has a chance to get at us. Okay, and that's where the transformation takes place. It's a transformation in your mind from mindsets. The system has indoctrinated us, whether you like it or not or believe it or not, through television, through music, internet, whatever. It has. It's done it to all of us. And so we're coming out of that. All right, the Lord gave me this analogy this week on this process. Now we're going to look over in Exodus 16. verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. It came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, Is it manna? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Right here it says in my reference, the manna literally means, what is it? What is it? See, they don't recognize God's will. They've been doing, they sat by the flesh pots and gorged themselves in Egypt. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. That tells me just enough. What every person, their capacity to be filled, that's what they got. Kind of like what we were talking about with the diet. The Lord tells us when to eat, and then there comes a time where you begin to be satisfied and you quit. All right? And he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that ye will see, then that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They laid it up till morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath day unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. It came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days, Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, which I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, as Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. All right, again, even in this is not about, you know, willpower here. But as you observe this account, the children of Israel were slaves. Socialism was ingrained in them, and God was trying to renew their minds to His provision for them. What God provided was just enough for the day, except concerning the Sabbath. Not only does this symbolize food, but it symbolizes greed. Yeah, greed. All right, let's look over to Ephesians right quick, chapter 5. I'm going to keep that greed. I was watching Maggie eat this morning. I tell her, slow down. She eats it like somebody's going to take it away from her. And she's never full. And she stays her tiny 6 pounds she has for 14 years. Like, you know, just somebody's going to take it away from her. And, you know, a lot of times we act that way too. We act like, you know, we better buy 10 instead of the one we need, you know. Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as cometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, even the days, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. So what's he saying here? Talking about control, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit, temperance. This is not just eating, but it is behavior also. The children of Israel wanted to stockpile the manna. Remember the teaching I did a few years ago about your heaps stink? Mm-hmm. The Israelites were craving the flesh pots of Egypt. What is a flesh pot? It was where they received their food, like a grocery store. Are you a stocker upper? Or are you just that type of person? You just want to stock up, a stocker upper? You're a slave to the system. What about toilet paper? Do you get what the Lord is saying to us today? Hard to hear, isn't it? You saw the way people acted with the toilet paper. And you see what the Lord was trying to teach him with the manna. I'm giving you just enough for this day because I want you to trust me that I'm going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. Instead of them longing to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. Every, well, most everybody I listen to, they're all selling the Patriot Supply, the 25-year food that will last for 25 years. Oh, you need to stock up. You never know what's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. You need to change your money into gold, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. The Lord hadn't told us to do nothing. See, that's the world system. That's what it does. Now you can understand these slaves coming out of Egypt, what they were experiencing. God was trying to train them to trust Him. God wants to take care of us, and He doesn't want us to be consumed with taking care of ourselves. Unfortunately, the world system promotes reliances on resources other than God. This is idolatry as far as God is concerned. We will overcome this by renewing our minds, and those strongholds begin to come down. To care for yourself is actually pride, and you know what happens when pride enters the picture. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I can take care of myself, pride says. I don't need any help. I've told this before. I remember Brian, he was growing so fast that I had some nice little suits that he had hardly worn. And so there was a lady down the street had a little boy that was a little smaller than Brian. And so I just sent one of her kids was up at my house. I just sent those clothes home. She refused them. Oh, we don't take charity. You know, it's like, pride, arrogancy. That's what pride is. It's arrogancy. 1 Peter 5, well, we'll read that because it says we're to humble ourselves. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Caring for yourself is pride. Have you ever heard the term, well, let them have their pride? It's really the last thing they need. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I can take care of myself. Sounds like a 2-year-old. I do it myself. Humble means depressed, humiliated in circumstances or disposition. Matthew 6, 24 through 34, we're going to read that today because it talks about the two masters, the slave or the free. Getting hold of the fact of how free God really has made us, how free He wants us to be, that we absolutely do not take any care about anything. Well, I just got one roll of toilet paper. It'll be all right. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Is this what was going on with the manna? Some of them listened to him, some of them didn't. Some of them went and out in the field on Sunday to find more manna. Some of them tried to gather, you know, heap up the manna, and it bred worms and stank. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You know, if you observe the birds, you see them all day long looking for worms and bugs and stuff. Then the next day, the whole process starts over again. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. See, the Gentiles seek it. God provides it. God provides it. All right, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So he knows. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, when you put kingdom first and you think about the kingdom and doing kingdom business, and you're not really thinking about food and all this kind of stuff, then he takes care of it. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, because most of the thoughts that we think is about the future, isn't it? When we get into care and stuff in it, thinking about in it, because we got our minds out there. He didn't want us, our minds out there. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. This is how your master is chosen, slave or free. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians is all about getting free and staying free, walking in the Spirit. Maybe we need to read that again. Let's go to chapter 5. I just read the first verse. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All you have to do is listen to one of them spills on you. Well, you better go get your Patriot Supply, you know, your 2-week supply of food that'll last for 25 years. And you'd be doing okay, and you think, oh, should I do that? A little leaven leaven the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Then it goes on to talk about, we've already read that, about walking in the flesh, not walking in the flesh, and walking in the Spirit. By renewing the mind, we begin to see God's will, and we begin to embrace the ways of the kingdom. John said to change your mind for the better. The better is the kingdom way, which is God's provision, not slavery. Think about what the world is saying and doing right now. Sadly, the church also. Telling us what we need to stockpile. Take care of yourselves. Buy the Patriot Food Kit that lasts up to 25 years to convert your money into gold and silver. On it goes. Honestly, I can't say that the Lord has told me to do anything. It's like the Y2K. Bought up all that water, put it in the top of my closet, and the only thing it did, some of it evaporated, and the rest of it leaked out on the board in the top of the closet, and Danny had to replace them. And nothing happened. And we had, what was that, Jack? He died here this year. Jack, whatever his name was, him and his wife, Drusilla, but anyway. It's always about, it's coming, you know, the crisis. Oh, yeah. Van Impey, Jack Van Impey. Oh, yeah. Scare the life out of you, you know, just go. Lord. Everybody's panicking all over the place, and then nothing happened. All right. All the fear mongering was for nothing. God wants us to focus on him and his ways and trust his plan. If we need to do anything, he will certainly let us know. I know that during the time the Israelites in Egypt, Marian told them, Marian the prophetess, she told them, you need to go store up some water because the water was fixing to be smitten in Egypt. turned into blood. So everybody gathered water. So they had fresh water, and the Egyptians did not. But God told them to do that. Okay, he just wants us to trust him to stay out of fear, which promotes pride, and so we can stay in faith. In Genesis 3, we see where pride won out. Adam committed high treason that day against God and lost everything. Satan became the god of this world. God did all he could to get the slaves to trust him, but to little avail. Even the rock followed them, and the rock was Jesus, and even then they did not believe. Jesus was with them all along. We're going to look at that. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They got into excess. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols and anything, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. In other words, your love walk. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Give not offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be safe. And then he goes on to say, be ye followers of me as I even as I also am of Christ. So the Lord wants us free. Free. 1 John 2:15 says, and the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When Jesus was here, he showed the people the way to freedom from the slavery of the Romans, a.k.a. the devil's system at that time. He showed them the kingdom way, how God operates. Okay? You know the story of Mary and Martha. Mary decided to sit at the Lord's feet, and Martha decided to go in the kitchen and throw fits and watch her pot stew, and she stewed because her lazy sister wouldn't get in there and help her. She even went and told the Lord about it, and he rebuked her for it. I'm not going to take that away from her. She's chosen the best part. Learn at my feet. You're in there worrying and stewing about everything. He said, you're careful about many things. I remember one time my friend Mary, well, she wouldn't mind me telling this, many years ago. And I remember calling her. I said, the Lord gave me a word for you. He goes, Martha, Martha. She began to weep. She had been in care about a situation. I said, Martha, Martha, but your name is Mary. She still remembers that word. We can all be Martha or we can all be Mary. We can decide which we want to be. Carefree, hearing from the Lord, learning from the Lord, seated at his feet, or we can be worrying and stewing over, well, that this thing's going on tomorrow. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said to him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. I can just imagine if we were faced with something like that today. Oh my gosh, where are we going to go? Where are we going to get the money? Well, God provided, didn't he? God wants our minds off of ourselves and onto his business. I believe that's the whole crux of it. We are seated with him, you know. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He wants our minds free and to get in line with his will. If we're in care, we're not going to be able to execute his will. Because that's the other master. That's the flesh. Satan's all about the flesh. If you hadn't guessed that yet, just look at the medical system. I was talking to somebody last night about that. You know, I said, someone asked me a question. She goes, she said, how come it seems like these demon people, they can just summon the devil and he does stuff for them, but it's so hard to get the Lord to answer you about anything. And I said, because Satan operates in the flesh realm. And I said, we're good at operating in the flesh, but I said, because she said, I pray in tongues all the time, but I never have anything. I think really she does, she just doesn't know it. I believe she's, the Lord's renewing her mind and everything, but I thought, well, you know, you got to get in tune praying in the Spirit. And I said, then you can connect with God because he's Spirit. Mm-hmm. The devil's all about accommodating the flesh, but God is not flesh. He's Spirit. I don't know if she got it or not, but anyway. Yeah. So he wants our minds free. Jeremiah 23:9, it's a scripture that talks about, is not my word like fire? It cannot endure the test, or something that talks about the rock of resistance, that it's like a, more or less, talking about the hammer today, it's a, that beats on that rock. That fire consumes the rock. It beats the strongholds of the mind. It gets rid of the strong. Let me just turn there because I'm hitting all around it. This is Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? See, when we get into care and we are walking in the flesh, These strongholds build up in our minds about things. And you do that for years and years and years. And then when you want to come into the Word of Faith and you want to and walk in the Spirit and you want to get answers from God, you've got all these, you've got a whole city built up in your head. Walled off cities. And that's why it's hard to get your things answered, because those strongholds got to come down. They got to come down. What did the manna do? It was able to get the people focused on God and not on their needs. See, that's care. Knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, God gave us the growl to remind us it's time to eat. This shows me that we are not to even think about it until we hear the signal. It kind of reminds me of the dinner bell. They're out in the fields and they're slaving out in the fields, and all of a sudden you hear the dinner bell ring and everybody comes in from the field and eats. We have been more dependent on the world system than we have thought we have been. Well, the rock is bringing this system down. The rock. Jesus, the rock, is bringing the system down. This is Daniel chapter 2. He's bringing the system down as well as the strongholds in your mind down. His word is like a hammer. He's the rock. Daniel 2. This is verse 34 and 35. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image, this is Nebuchadnezzar's statue, upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What happened? The strongholds came down. Whether it be in your mind, or it be the literal stronghold of the enemy that took over our country, all the countries of the world. The Lord's going to be the stronghold. Okay? Jesus is Jehovah Jireh, and y'all know what Jireh means? My provider. Jehovah Jireh. All right, let's read a couple of Psalms. I'm getting close to the end here. Psalms 23. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, and I will fret, and I will just have breakdown. No. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table. No. I have to run to the store. I've got to get a cookbook. I've got to get, all this stuff to try to prepare. No, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He took care of it, didn't he? He prepared. He led. He prepared. He had me lay down in green pastures. Isaiah 35, this is a good chapter. We're going to read that. God has prepared, didn't it say in Hebrews? Let me find that. I need to find that first. Hebrews. Lord just gave me that. Hebrews 11. It's about Abraham. Right here. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what I want. I want that stuff the Lord's built. Okay, Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. See, God is not limited. You know, in this world, we are limited. But God does things like giving a 90-year-old woman a baby, you know. Springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Jesus feeding the multitude out in the wilderness with a little couple of fish and a few loaves. And the inhabitants, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is inside of you. Okay, a couple more and we'll be done. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things, that's teeth, and chocolate, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. All right, Psalms 105:37. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Think about the children of Israel. They come out of there. They took communion, the Passover, ate the Passover lamb. They come out. They weren't weak or sick. They were laden with silver and gold. They stripped the Egyptians. And then God supernaturally feeds them. He brought them forth. Well, if he brought them forth, he brings us forth. As people of faith, we have the ability to call it the way we want, the power to speak to situations and circumstances and demand they be removed, bind the devil and kick him out of our affairs. We are the people of God, and this type of living pleases him. One more scripture passage and we're done. Colossians chapter 2. The Lord is trying to free us from strongholds. Verse 16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward of a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, in humility, in neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Just fleshly stuff. We grew up, all of us, we grew up with it. And now the Lord is trying to get us to walk by the Spirit and trust Him.